الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون، يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، والشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، at the beginning of Ramadan I mentioned the importance of making a dua list, talking about how we can all open up our phones and open up a notepad and start writing down the different du'as that we want answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the objective is to do what? Is to, night after night when you're breaking your fast, this is a time that the du'a is accepted, so you can open up your phone, go through those du'as. I'm hoping that some people actually took the advice and started to do it, inshallah ta'ala. And I assume that if you did, then night, after 20 different times of breaking your fast, you probably added some du'as. And by now, inshallah ta'ala, that list is looking quite good. It's being perfected, alhamdulillah. Why is this so good? Because inshallah ta'ala, now you can enter into the last 10 nights of Ramadan, where each night after Isha, you can supplicate and make du'a to Allah and remind yourself of all the different things that you want to make du'a for. And inshallah, if you make this a habit and you hit all 10 nights, then inshallah, indeed you will hit Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, where your du'as will indeed be accepted, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. May Allah make us of those who make du'a and call upon Him on Laylatul Qadr. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. So today, I'd like to talk about, that's just an introductory remark, what I'd like to talk about is the concept of du'a and why it's so important. And inshallah ta'ala, it will encourage you and fuel you and push you throughout these last 10 nights to continuously make du'a to Allah. First and foremost, the Prophet ﷺ says, الدُعَاء هو الْعِبَادَ. That du'a is ibadah, it is worship. Supplicating and invoking and calling upon Allah is the essence, or it is the pinnacle, or it is the ultimate manifestation of worshiping Allah. So it has a very crucial place in our deen, and we should never neglect that. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ says what? لَيْسَ شَيْءٌ أَكْرَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الدُّعَاء. There is nothing that is more noble to Allah than du'a. This is such a noble act of worship that Allah loves so tremendously, that indeed there is nothing that is more noble than it in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not only is it the essence of worship, not only is it the most noble deed that we can do in Allah's sight, but above and beyond all of that, du'a is a manifestation of recognizing Allah's names and attributes. So many of us, maybe we just make du'a and we don't really think about the different implications behind it. So for instance, you wanted a job. Oh Allah, help me get this job. Simple, right? Done. What we don't realize is that first and foremost, by making du'a, you are affirming and recognizing that indeed Allah is real. You are indeed recognizing that Allah is al-haq and al-hay, the reality, and al-hay, the ever-living. You're recognizing who Allah is and these names and attributes. Because obviously you wouldn't ask help of someone that didn't exist. Furthermore, you're recognizing that Allah hears your supplication and sees you when you make du'a. Because obviously if Allah didn't hear you, you wouldn't make that du'a. So you're also recognizing that Allah is indeed as-sami' al-basir al-raqib al-shaheed. That Allah is the all-hearing, the all-seeing, the ever-watchful, and the witness. But it could be the case that you go to somebody and you ask them for help, and they are a real person, and they can hear you, but they don't know your circumstances. If they don't know your circumstances, you're asking for something, and maybe that thing isn't actually good for you. But we know that when we make du'a, we recognize that Allah is indeed real. Allah does indeed hear us, and He knows our circumstances. Therefore, He knows what we need and what we don't need, even better than we know ourselves. We're recognizing that Allah is who? Al-Alim, Al-Khabir, Al-Hakim. Allah is the all-knowing, the all-aware, and Al-Hakim, the most wise. This is all implied in one simple dua. But we can go even further. Not only can you ask somebody who is, you ask someone who is real, who hears you, who knows your circumstances, but it's possible that you're asking somebody and he has all those attributes, but he can't improve your circumstances. Look, yes, I am real, and yes, I can hear you, and yes, I know your circumstances, but my hands are tied, I can't help. But when you make dua to Allah, you're recognizing that Allah is who? Al-Ghani, Al-Mughni, Al-Nafi', Al-Malik, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Qawi, Al-Qadir. You're recognizing that Allah is indeed who? The rich and the enricher. That Allah is the one who provides benefit, the most beneficial, the king, Al-Aziz, the authority, the ultimate in mightiness, Al-Jabbar, the enforcer, Al-Qawi, the all-powerful, Al-Qadir, the omnipotent. This is all implied in dua. And we can go further, that when you make dua, let's say you ask someone for help. It's possible that yes, it's a real person, they hear you, they know your circumstances, and they can help you, but you know what? I don't want to help you, I don't like you. Isn't that possible? It's possible that a person has all these qualities, but they just don't feel like it. When you make dua to Allah, you're also recognizing that, in addition to everything that's been mentioned, He also cares to improve your circumstances. So you're recognizing that Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Kareem, Al-Wadud, Ar-Ra'uf, Al-Wahhab. That Allah is indeed the abundantly merciful, the eternally merciful, the most generous, the loving, the compassionate, and the bestower, the one who is constantly giving gifts even if you don't deserve it, Al-Wahhab. It also has different implications about yourself. When you make dua, it affects your own psychology. Why? Because you are recognizing that you are weak, that you are helpless, and that you are humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are qualities that Allah loves in His slaves and servants. And finally, you also recognize that, and everybody knows their own list of mistakes. Everybody knows how many mistakes they made and how many evil deeds that they have done. And yet you are still making dua. What does this imply? It implies that you know that Allah will give despite your shortcomings. Why? Because He is Al-Ghafoor, Al-Tawwab, and Al-Afu. That Allah is indeed the all-forgiving, the one who turns back to His slaves over and over and over again, no matter how many times they've made mistakes, as long as they turn to Him. And Al-Afu, the one who erases evil deeds entirely. So subhanAllah, one little dua, all you do is say, oh Allah, help me get this job, let's say, for instance. And in that little dua, already we can list 26 different names and attributes of Allah that are implied. Let's appreciate how deep this concept of dua is, and let's appreciate why the Prophet ﷺ says, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah," that dua is the essence of worship. Why? Because it's recognizing who Allah is, subhanAllah. In fact, we find that in the Quran, Allah equates the entirety of His deen with dua. When Allah says what? Huwa al-hayy, la ilaha illa huwa, fad'uhu mukhlisina lahu ad-deen. That Allah says what? He is Al-Hayy, the ever-living. There is no deity except Him. So call upon Him being sincere in your deen. What you would expect in the Arabic language is what? فَدْعُوهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدُّعَاء. You would expect that Allah says, call upon Him being completely sincere in your supplication. That's the expected sentence. But Allah replaces the masdar, the verb, or the infinitive of dua, and puts ad-deen. And this, subhanAllah, is a very powerful rhetorical device, and it implies what? That this whole deen is manifested through dua. SubhanAllah, this is the importance of dua. We should truly embrace this concept of dua, and this act of worship of dua, especially because today is the 19th day, and tonight, inshallah, is the 20th night. Now is the time, inshallah, to truly embrace this concept of dua. It's amazing too that Allah says مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Why? What does it mean to be so sincere? To have complete ikhlas? What does it mean to have ikhlas in your dua? I mean, alhamdulillah, as believers, nobody's making dua to any other deity. What does it imply? It implies that not only are you making dua to Allah alone, but that you're not even thinking of anybody else. Sometimes you're making dua, let's say for a job, and you're thinking about the boss. Right? Or you're thinking about, for instance, passing an exam. And while you're making dua to Allah, you're also thinking about the teacher, or you're thinking about the people that you're going to study with, and you're thinking about all these different individuals who are going to help you and who's going to benefit you in this process. When you mukhlisina lahu ad-deen means what? Inshallah ta'ala, during these last 10 nights, when you're making dua to Allah, yes, of course, Allah will use different means, different people as different means to accomplish the things that you want. But during your dua, don't think about anybody else. During that time of dua, you're only thinking about Allah and Allah alone, nobody else, inshallah ta'ala. In fact, to really drive the point home, subhanAllah, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that He wants nothing from us but dua. In fact, Allah asks the question, like it, rhetorically, when Allah says, قُلْ, say this, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell this to the ummah. قُلْ, مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. Say, what would my Lord care if not for your supplication? This is such a powerful ayah. Why would I care? What would I care about you people? This ayah, subhanAllah, I find it contrasts a lot the image that Christians paint of God. You'll find that the Christians, they say, like, you know, God is love, and that God is, they almost paint God as if God is desperate for the attention of humanity, as if God is watching humanity and desperately hoping that they'll turn to Him and love Him back. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refutes this idea and says, what would I care if you don't make dua to me? In other words, if you're not calling upon me, I'm not paying attention to you. I don't have any reason to pay attention to you until you start calling upon me. Now I'm going to pay attention to you. We need to remember this, because sometimes time elapses and a long period of time will go by and we will neglect dua. And we need to remember that if we neglect Allah in calling upon Him, then He will not be paying attention to us. He is not desperately waiting our attention. Rather, Allah says, look, I have no interest in you until you make dua for me. Now I care about you. Now, in fact, I will turn to you with love. But until then, no interest. SubhanAllah. According to this ayah. In fact, some people, they paint this picture of God being entertained by humanity on earth, as if God is desperately watching them, as if they're so entertaining and interesting. Allah refutes that idea as well. Allah says, أَلَوْ أَرَدْنَا أَن نَتَّخِذَ لَهْوًا لَتَّخَذْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا إِن كُنَّا فَاعِلِينَ. Had we intended to take some sort of a entertainment, or some sort of a diversion, then we would have done so with that which is within us, if we were to do so, indeed. So Allah is putting a hypothetical and saying, look, even theoretically, if Allah wanted some sort of entertainment, you people aren't that entertaining. Get over yourselves. You're not that entertaining, you people on earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come up with much greater things. So this idea that God is desperately watching us, and so interested in everything that we have to do, this is an image that I think we need to remove from our minds and recognize. That only when we turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and call upon Him, then we are deserving of His attention. May Allah make us of those who constantly make dua. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Why should we make dua? First and foremost, because everything makes dua. SubhanAllah. Everything in the heavens and the earth is constantly in a state of dua, except for those who have free will, human beings and jinn. Allah says, يَسْأَلْهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلُّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Allah says in Surah Rahman, whoever and whatever is within the heavens and the earth is constantly asking of Him. Every day He is bringing about a new affair and new matters into existence. What is this saying? All the angels of the heavens and all of the creatures of the earth, they are constantly in a state of supplication to Allah, begging Allah for their sustenance and for mercy and so forth. So we need to join in and recognize reality for what it is, as they have recognized this reality, that Allah is ultimately the one who changes the affairs, and therefore we are supposed to be in a constant state of supplicating to Him. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ says something so powerful, so beautiful, that had it not been for our dua, then subhanAllah, our reality would cease to exist. The Prophet ﷺ says in Sahih Muslim, لا تقوم الساعة حتى لا يقال في الأرض الله الله. That the Prophet ﷺ says what? That the hour, as in Judgment Day, will not be established until it is not said on earth, Allah, Allah. As in, there's nobody left to call upon Allah. This is a very powerful hadith. Because it implies what? That the very fact that you are continuously supplicating and making dua to Allah means that you are holding this, the fabric of reality, together. And that only once every last believer has passed away, and there is nobody left on earth, when the last believer dies, and there's nobody left calling upon Allah alone, that's when the Judgment Day will be established, and that's when reality will cease to exist and everything will be torn apart. So when, for instance, you hear rhetoric like, what are these Muslims doing in this country? We don't like these people. I mean, what benefit do they have? You should say, well, for starters, it just so happens that I'm holding reality together. Maybe you can answer like that, inshallah ta'ala. Maybe they won't understand what you're saying, but inshallah, you get the point. That the very existence of believers that are continuously calling upon Allah is what holds the fabric of reality together. The next question that somebody may ask is, how do I make dua? What should I make dua for? There are many things that you can make dua for, but I want to remind you of one powerful, beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he says, إِذَا سَأَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُكْثِرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَسْأَلُ رَبَّهُ. That whenever one of you asks, and whenever one of you makes dua, then ask for a lot. فَلْيُكْثِرْ, increase in dua. Ask for big things. Aim high. Don't, oh Allah, give me just a little this. No. Why? Because he is asking his Lord. فَإِنَّمَا يَسْأَلُ رَبَّهُ. He's asking nobody else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know who you're asking. Don't ask for small things. Ask for something great. Ask to make a big deal, to have a big impact, to make sure that you have a big impact in this dunya, and that you cause a great amount of good and a great amount of benefit. Ask for big things. Why? Because you're asking Allah, and Allah can do whatever He so wills. Never belittle Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in asking for something very small. Furthermore, don't belittle yourself. Why should you say, oh Allah, you know, I'm so humble and I'm so small and, you know, I'm never going to do anything, so just give me something small. No. Yes, of course, humility is good, absolutely. But at the same time, recognize that you have great potential, infinite potential, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you whatever He wills. So never belittle Allah and never belittle yourself as well, inshallah ta'ala. That's how we should make dua. When should we make dua? Yes, of course, during these last 10 nights, inshallah, absolutely. But beyond that, all the time. Dua is something you should do all the time. In fact, beautiful hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentions, "من سره أن يستجيب الله له عند الشدائد والكرب فليكثر الدعاء في الرخاء." Subhanallah, very powerful hadith. The Prophet ﷺ mentions what? Whoever would like that Allah would answer his supplications during hard times and during difficulties, then what should he do? He should make dua during times of ease. Make dua during times of ease. When should you make dua? All the time. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticizes those. Allah is very critical of those who only make dua during hard times. In fact, I've counted 6 different instances in the Quran, perhaps there are more, where Allah criticizes those who, Allah gives the example of the one on a ship, on the boat. Right when there's some sort of problems on the ship, they start making dua sincerely to Allah. Then when they get back to land, then they forget about Allah and they don't make dua anymore. Perhaps a boat is not an example that relates to you, but alhamdulillah, we have planes. I'm sure that can relate to you very easily. I'm sure everybody here has been in a situation where they're on the plane and they feel that turbulence, right? There's that drop. You feel like you're weightless just for a second, and immediately you start making dua to Allah. The moment you hear those noises, the moment you start feeling that wind, and you think, subhanAllah, strong gust of wind, maybe we're just going to get flipped. The moment you feel that way, what do? You make dua sincerely. There's nothing wrong with it. That's fantastic. But don't be the type of person that only makes dua when there's an exam, when there's a problem, when you get pulled over by the police, when you're sick, when you're in the plane and there's turbulence, when you lose control over the car and you think you're going to slide and crash. Only in these instances you make dua, this is problematic. And Allah criticizes this type of attitude over and over again in the Quran. What Allah wants from us is to be constantly in a state of dua. Because as the Prophet ﷺ says, if you make dua during ease, then inshallah, your du'as will be answered also during hardships. And inshallah, we'll continue with some more tips as to how to make your dua extremely strong and potent and powerful, inshallah ta'ala, in the second khutbah. Wa sallallahu ala sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam kathira. Bismillah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Inshallah ta'ala, ways that we can improve our dua to make it even more strong is, number one, if you use and mention the names and attributes of Allah. This is, in fact, a command of Allah. Allah says what? وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah says what? That to Allah belongs all the best names. All the names of Allah. 99 names and more. All of these names, they belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the best of names. فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. So therefore, make dua with those names. It's a command from Allah. So whenever you're asking Allah for mercy, don't forget to mention Allah is Ghafoor, Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafir, Al-Tawwab. When you're asking for help, let's say financial help, don't forget to mention that Allah is Al-Ghani, Al-Mughni, the rich and the enricher. Whatever you're asking for, make sure that you connect with it Allah's names and attributes, number one. Number two, don't forget to mention Allah's favors upon you. This is not just my opinion, this is actually found in the example of Zakariya alayhi salam. When Zakariya alayhi salam was making dua for his son, he also mentioned, وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّ. He says, oh Allah, I have never been unhappy or disappointed when I make dua to you. So he's making dua, he's asking Allah for a son, he's saying, oh Allah, by the way, I've never been disappointed in when I make dua for you. You always give me, you always provide for me. This is mentioning Allah's favors. This is something we should imitate. Zakariya alayhi salam is our Nabi as well, alayhi salatu wasalam. He is our example. And we should take his example, and when we're making dua for something, we can also mention, oh Allah, you've blessed me with health, with family, with wealth, with a home, with a car. Alhamdulillah, I have all these different blessings. Oh Allah, you've given me so many things, also give me this as well. Mention Allah's favors in addition to your what you're making dua for. Thirdly, make dua mentioning your unfavorable condition. Let's say you're in pain. Let's say you're in some sort of a tough spot. Make dua and mention that. If you want, everybody else doesn't like it when you complain to them. Nobody likes a complainer. You go up to them, oh, I don't like this, I don't like that. Nobody likes listening to people's complaints. Allah loves to listen to your complaints. So why do you complain to the people and instead you should complain to Allah? This is the example of Nuh alayhi salam. When Nuh alayhi salam said, as Allah mentions, فَدَعَا رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرْ. He said, oh Allah, I have been overcome. I have been overpowered, so help me. So give me victory. What is he doing? He's mentioning his unfavorable state. He's mentioning his hardship. He's saying, I'm maghloob. I've been overtaken. So help me. This is also the example of Musa alayhi salam, where Musa alayhi salam says, فَقَالَ رَبِّي إِنِّي لِمَا أَنزَلْتَ إِلَيَّ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَقِيرٍ. Oh Allah, I am faqir. I am desperate and in need for whatever good you're going to send me. So let's take the example of Nuh alayhi salam, of Musa alayhi salam, and recognize that when we're making dua, we mention the tough spot that we're in. Oh Allah, I'm in pain. Oh Allah, I'm in a bad spot financially, physically, whatever the case is. I'm having troubles with my family. Oh Allah, I complain to you because I know you're the one who loves those who complain to him. I know that you're the only one that can change my circumstances. Don't be shy to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about your situation, as is the example of the Anbiya before us. Fourthly, we should never forget to mention our good deeds. Allah describes the believers and says, الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا آمَنَّا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That the believers are those who, they say, our Lord, we have believed, therefore forgive us of our sins and protect us from the punishment of the fire. What are they doing? What is Allah mentioning here in Surah Ali Imran? Allah is mentioning that the believers are those who mention their good deeds. We are believers. This is a good deed to be a believer. So whatever good deeds you have done, oh Allah, you're making dua, oh Allah, I'm asking you for this, and look at the good deeds that I've done. I have been giving charity. I have been praying my salawat. I have been coming to the masjid. I have been calling people to good and forbidding evil. Oh Allah, I have been doing these things for your sake and for your sake alone. I've been doing them in private. I'm not showing off to anybody. How could I? I've been doing it in private. Or maybe I've been doing it in public, but I've been doing it for the sake of encouraging others. Oh Allah, you know my heart. Answer my dua. This is a beautiful way to make dua that is described in the Quran. And fifthly, mention the good results of what will happen if the dua is answered. We know that Musa alayhi salam, when he was making dua to Allah, when he was given this great task of going and confronting Fir'aun, he asked Allah to make a wazir from his brother Harun. We all know this dua. That he asked Allah, oh Allah, make my brother Harun my wazir. Why? For what purpose? He says, كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا. That he says, why? Make my support and my ally, make him a prophet as well, oh Allah, my brother Harun, my brother Aaron. Why? So that we can praise you and glorify you and magnify you a lot. What is he doing? He's mentioning the good effect of if the dua is answered. So in that exact same way, when we make dua, let's say for instance, oh Allah, give me a car. Simple example. Oh Allah, I need a car. Please bless me with a car. You're making this simple dua, straightforward dua, add to it. Mention it, make an appendage, make a little extra comment at the end of it. If you give me this dua, oh Allah, I know how I'm going to use it. I'm going to go to school with it. I'm going to go to work with it. I'm going to go to the masjid with it. I'm going to give people rides. I'm going to do so much good deeds with this. I'm going to please you, oh Allah, with this car. Oh Allah, bless me with this car. So to summarize, what are these five different ways of enhancing one's dua? By calling upon the names and attributes of Allah, by mentioning Allah's favors upon you, by mentioning your unfavorable state or whatever difficulty you're in, by mentioning the good deeds that you have done in the past and mentioning the good deeds that you will do in the future. All of these, I have cited different ayat of the Quran to demonstrate their validity and their authenticity. And finally, inshallah ta'ala, we should always remember to make the dua, the very, very important dua, especially in the times that we are living, where, subhanAllah, we are finding that our youth are walking away from the deen in great numbers. We are finding that the masajid, if you go to other cities, you'll find that the masajid are full with the youth. Unfortunately, we are finding that in this, in our circumstances, this is not the case. And so we really need to pay attention and invest in how, what is the best way that we can bring the next generation, once the older generation starts passing away, who's going to take care of these masajid? Who's going to be taking care of the leaks and the problems and so forth? Who's going to be coming? Somebody who doesn't come to the masjid, is that realistic? That's not very realistic. So we want to ask Allah, Allahumma istakhdimna wa la tastabdilna. This is a beautiful dua. And what does it mean? It means, oh Allah, use me and don't replace me. Allahumma istakhdimna wa la tastabdilna. Oh Allah, use me to spread this deen and don't replace me with somebody else. As Allah promises that this deen will continue to spread and people will be replaced if they do not get serious. So we ask Allah to not be replaced. May Allah make us of those who make sincere dua to Him throughout these last 10 nights and throughout our lives. May Allah make us of those who hear this and try to apply it by making dua regular and a part of our lifestyle. May Allah make us of those who always turn back to Him no matter how many times we make mistakes. Allahumma hadina fi man hadait, wa afina fi man afait, wa tawallana fi man tawallait, wa barik lana fi ma a'tait, wa qina sharra ma qadait, fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk, innahu la yadhillu man walait, wa la yi'izzu man adait, tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alait, rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, wa qina adhaban nar, wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira, wa aqim as-salat.